This is Audible.
The Last Days of August contains some explicit and upsetting material involving sexuality, assault, and self-harm. It may not be suitable for all audiences.
I work a lot, so in my free time, I chill out. I have my two cats, Kush and Ninja. I shop at Target, you know?
Who doesn't shop at Target? Target's the best.
Target. Like, I'm normal, you know, with just, like, a little crazy job.
I love your snort, by the way. So speaking of your dorky, silly personality, we see a lot of that on your Twitter profile, which, by the way, for those listening, where can we find you on Twitter?
Oh, well, you can find me on Twitter at AugustAmesXXX. That's AmesXXX.
We just spent a year making a podcast about the tech takeover of the porn industry. This was me and my producer, Lena. We'd found a porn world that seemed like a kind of family. People looked out for each other. We left in the summer of 2017 when our reporting was done. And 6 months later, something terrible happened.
One of the world's most famous porn stars is now dead only days after a controversy erupted over her alleged anti-gay remarks. The full fury of Twitter came down on Ames, and she was bullied relentlessly online for her supposed homophobia.
On December the 5th, 2017, the porn star August Ames, real name Mercedes Grabowski, committed suicide. It happened a day after she'd been piled in on Twitter by fellow porn professionals. I had written about Twitter pile-ons, and we'd spent so much time in the porn world, it seemed right to approach August's husband, Kevin, for an interview. Kevin works in porn too, as a producer. A few weeks after we contacted him, he emailed back. This was a month after August died. He said he wanted to tell someone the story of how social media bullying had killed his wife and decided that it should be me.
I'm recording.
Okay, well, let me start. I wanted to ask you, what was her relationship like with Twitter?
I would say she was a hardcore Twitter user. I remember the day she got the blue check mark on Twitter. The verified check mark, that was like, I bought her some sort of expensive jewelry recently, and she was more excited about the Twitter check mark. You know, you're never going to believe this. Oh, my God.
Kevin says it all started in early December 2017. August had just been booked to film a sex scene for the company Erotica X. 2 days before it was due to be shot, the producer sent her the name of her scene partner.
She went and looked him up and discovered he had done gay work. She then said, no, I refuse to work with him. And the company decided to cancel her. She was mad that they canceled her and went on Twitter and expressed her anger towards them.
August's first tweet that day was, whichever lady performer is replacing me tomorrow for Erotica X News, you're shooting with a guy who has shot gay porn, just to let you know. I do my homework for my body. Gay performers were offended, and they told her so. Her next tweet read, not homophobic. Most girls don't shoot with guys who have shot gay porn for safety. That's just how it is with me. I don't know what they do in their private lives. By now, word was spreading on Twitter that a porn star had launched an unexpected homophobic tirade, and so the pile-on intensified. Her next tweet was more contrite. Sorry, it was just my opinion. My body, my rules. Honestly, I'm sorry if I offended anyone. And then, how am I homophobic if I myself am attracted to women? Not wanting to have sex with gay men is not homophobic. They don't want to have sex with me either. And then her final tweet, the last one she ever wrote. Fuck you all.
I 100% supported her. It's her body, her choice. She was not homophobic. She wasn't worried about getting HIV. She was worried about the actual physical act. Why would you want to work with a guy that may not be attracted to you?
Do you think that was it? Do you think that's what was at the root of it?
Yeah. The social justice warrior anger came out on December 4th. That's where things sort of blew up.
August's fellow porn people had tweeted at her things like, "It's extremely unfair to be blacklisted because of ridiculous, naive stigmatism created by unethical homophobes." And, "I've been doing films for over 8 years and I've not contracted anything because my health and safety comes first. So yes, offence taken." Then there were less reasonable tweets like, "You may be the stupidest woman I've come across in 15 years of this industry. Next time, use your brain while openly being a cunt on Twitter." And, "Turns out being an uneducated homophobe didn't get you a pat on the head. Maybe think next time before you word vomit for attention." And, "The world is awaiting your apology, or for you to swallow a cyanide pill."
She couldn't look away from that phone, no matter how many times I tried to get her to stop. And I would constantly be like, "Let's get away from this. Let's put this down. Let's do something." And she would be like, "Oh, okay." And then she would like fall right back into it. I'd like walk out of the room for a couple minutes thinking she's getting ready. And then she's back on that phone. I'm not the nicest person in the world. So I'm sort of like, "You know what, Mercedes, you do what you feel is right and fuck everyone else. It's your body. It's your choice. I got your back no matter what." There was one specific person that bothered her a lot, and that was Jessica Drake.
Jessica Drake is porn royalty. She starred in some 237 films over a 19-year career, most of them big-budget features with the high-end porn company Wicked Pictures. Kevin seems to lay much of the blame for August's death on Jessica Drake.
I think she has presented herself as this sort of social justice warrior spokesperson for the industry, and I think it's a fraud, and I'll tell you why. This is a woman who maybe performs 8 to 10 times a year. She has no idea what it's like for the real working performers who have to do 10 or 15 scenes a month and the toll that takes on their body. And she is decreeing from her ivory tower.
It's true that as a contract performer with Wicked Pictures, one of the few high-end porn companies that survived the proliferation of free online porn, Jessica Drake has some pretty unique privileges. She can be very picky about which performers she works with, and she can insist the men wear condoms, hence Kevin's complaint that it was hypocritical of her to pass judgment on August's choices.
Mercedes' response to me at one point before she disappeared was, "Jessica Drake hates me." She wasn't crying, you know, she wasn't outwardly distressed. She said, I'm going to go tanning, I'm going to go to the gym, which was her two kind of favorite things. I said, okay, you know, and she got dressed. We hugged and, you know, said, "I love you" to each other. And she walked out that door and disappeared. And that was at 6:40 at night.
Did she go to the gym?
Well, I don't know. I went to the gym to try to find her. She wasn't there. You know, I'm a bit of a worrywart. At the same time, that night is when the Santa Paula fires started. We're not far from the Santa Paula fires, probably 15, 20 minutes.
That night was a chaotic one in Southern California. There were out-of-control brush fires 18 miles away from Kevin and August's home in Camarillo, spreading at intense speed because of the high winds. By 8 o'clock that night, 500 acres were burning. 3 hours later, it was 10,000 acres. There were fatalities. A 70-year-old attorney crashed her car and died because of smoke inhalation, and 29 horses burned to death.
Within an hour of her leaving, less than an hour, I had started texting her because the wind had started to get kind of crazy. She didn't respond to me, and so that's when I started calling her, and no response. And I must have called her, I can't even tell you, thousands of times that night. And by 9 o'clock, the power went out everywhere. It was like a ghost town in Camarillo and in the corresponding areas. There was no power. The wind was so strong it could push me over. It could push my car to the side of the road. It was probably 50 miles an hour. And then all you could hear is sirens in the background, and you could see this like red blaze in the horizon. And I have never felt dread like that. And then I started calling hospitals. I started calling the police. But with the fires and with the lack of power, help wasn't coming. And then the next morning is when the coroners contacted me. She had taken her life in a park in Camarillo.
Even though the winds felt strong enough to push Kevin's car over, and she only weighed 114 pounds, she had managed to tie a slipknot, climb a tree, and hang herself from it. She was 23. By the time she died, she had performed in 270 sex scenes. The ones that ended up on the free porn site Pornhub, where to this day her bio has her in the present tense, still alive, have been viewed 450 million times.
So I'm from Canada. Mm-hmm. I had three jobs. I worked at Subway, a tanning salon, and I also would bartend at night.
She also left behind this interview that she recorded 5 months before her death with the porn director and podcaster Holly Randall.
I sent this email to this guy from Hustler or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, I would like to get into the porn industry. Mm-hmm. And he got back to me within 15 minutes.
Of course he did.
Within 2 weeks, I flew out to California.
What does August Ames do in her free time?
I call my mom and I talk to my old friends from, you know, Canada. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking on my Twitter and Instagram all the fucking time, you know.
Yeah.
And when I'm depressed, I try looking for like a happy selfie I took like a month earlier so I could post it on my Instagram. But then even then I'm like, fuck, I don't even want to fucking post that.
Kevin says he has no doubt as to the reason why she killed herself.
If she hadn't been bullied, she'd be alive right now. It was 24 hours after it started. How can you not see a relationship there? She was bullied by social justice warriors.
Kevin has written a statement about August's death. He wants to post it today, straight after this interview. In it, he names names, like the gay performer Juxton Wheeler, who wrote the cyanide tweet. And he writes a lot about Jessica Drake. Much of the statement is about her. Quote, Miss Drake caused irreparable harm by using her followers and stature in an attempt to silence and bully a young, impressionable woman. Kevin wants to post the statement today because Jessica Drake is hosting a porn awards ceremony in a few days, and he hopes it'll shame the awards people into cancelling her.
I mean, it's all set to go. I showed it to your producer. Mm. I would like to put it out today because I need to fight back. It's time for the industry to accept responsibility for their hand in this.
It isn't my place, but I feel I need to suggest to Kevin that he doesn't name Jessica Drake or Juxton Wheeler in his statement. You know, when you name particular people and you're calling out particular individuals, there's a couple of moments where I just sort of worried about, gosh, you know, is this going a little too far? Like, who knows what this might unleash?
You know, I'm not going to deny this. I'm angry. I lost the woman I love to a bunch of people's stupid opinions on social media. So am I supposed to just roll over? Take it? Just say, oh, well. At what point do you stand up?
I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying, except for the fact that I'm, it's really strong and it's going to be like setting off a hand grenade. And is that definitely the right thing to do?
Yeah, I think the business might need a hand grenade.
A few hours after talking to me, Kevin releases his statement. He calls it The Truth. He posts it on August's Twitter account for maximum impact. August had 621,000 followers, whereas Kevin has 2,700. Later that day, my producer Lena messages Kevin to ask if he's feeling okay. Yeah, I am, he messages back. Some men just want to watch the world burn. He's quoting Batman. Michael Caine's character says it of the Joker, kind of man who robs jewels just to throw them away. Chaos for the sake of chaos.
Can you hear me, John?
Yes, I can.
Shoot away. I mean, the kind of guy I am, I'm just going to tell you everything 100%.
I had a plan for this story. I would interview the people who piled in on August. I'd find out what was happening in their lives that led them to that moment.
Any question you answer, I'll give it to you. Like, I didn't know Mercedes leading into this.
This is Jaxton Wheeler, the man who wrote the cyanide tweet. The world is awaiting your apology or for you to swallow a cyanide pill. The tweet's famous now, immortalised in headlines like this one from Britain's Daily Mirror. Porn star was told to take a cyanide pill hours before her death.
Even when I heard she had died the next morning, my thought process was, why? Like, who kills himself over being told that they've, you know, made a wrong statement? It didn't make sense to me. But the whole thing was, like, wow, there has to be a lot more to this than her just being shamed for making a homophobic comment that she refused to take down, even after the community said that that's what we fight. What she said, the way she said it, was bullshit. So I would approach this whole thing the same exact fucking way. If you're going to be adult enough to have 500,000 fucking followers and be a big girl porn star, listen, she's younger than I am. She should know damn well that the social media platform is not a place for sunshine and kisses. Hold on, I got to get my mini pig's going to be small, relax. Come on, pups. Inside.
Is that a mini pig?
Yeah. My son at some point is going to be in high school. You know, people are going to know what I do. That kind of stigma right there is the kind of shit that bullies actually read and think is true. Somehow find out that my son's dad is a gay porn star and he's getting shoved in the lockers. I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for you know, like, she wasn't bullied. She literally was just her ass handed to her.
And then Jaxton tells me something about the cyanide tweet that I didn't expect and didn't know whether to believe.
My tweet was sent out at 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Uh-huh.
She was discovered dead 3 hours before that tweet was made.
Oh, really?
This is the truth. Yeah, now, No, of course, nobody wants to say that because then I can't be the scapegoat.
Jaxton says that a few weeks before I contacted him, August's brother, James, had done the same to confront him about his apparent role in his sister's death.
My response to him was, you know, I'm actually more disappointed in you guys because I don't know her. I didn't know her growing up. I mean, I feel like a piece of shit for coming at me because it's like, listen, look, I understand that you're upset your sister's dead. I would be too. But I would be actually looking for the real reasons for why, not going on a goddamn witch hunt and wasting my fucking energy.
How did her brother respond to that?
He ended up blocking me, but I heard from another freaking account that I devastated him.
A few weeks pass, and then it's the AVN, the Adult Video News Expo and Awards Ceremony at the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas. It's the biggest night in the porn calendar. One porn person described it to me as it being like porn prom. Quite a few porn women here are wearing T-shirts of Kevin's design. It's a drawing of August's face, but looking like a skull, and underneath are the last words she tweeted. Fuck you all. Kevin has been encouraging porn people to Instagram themselves wearing these shirts as a memorial and, I think, as a way of shaming those he says contributed to her death, like Jessica Drake. Everyone's downstairs in the big room off the casino where the fans queue for autographs.
You know, the butt plug, it's got a tail, makes you look like a horse.
Everyone, that is, except Jessica Drake. She's upstairs in her room on the 11th floor, refusing interview requests.
Okay. Just you be comfortable and I'll follow you guys.
Yeah.
But then I get word that she's willing to talk to me.
Should I start from the beginning?
Yeah.
I've held off on talking to anybody or posting about it because it's a horrible situation. I went back 6 months of my Twitter during all of this. And I'm like, was I ever a bully to anybody? That's not what I do. Like, I don't do that. I have a tissue.
It was only after I'd spoken to Kevin that I had looked properly at Jessica Drake's tweets about August. There was something very unexpected about them. She had written, without naming August, "If you're eliminating folks based on the fact that they may have done gay or crossover work, your logic is seriously flawed." There were a couple of other tweets, but none of them were worse than that one. It was all far more innocuous than I'd anticipated. Of course, sometimes it's the insults wrapped up as gentle rebukes that can hurt the most, but they really did seem mild. I can't help feeling surprised that Kevin had concentrated so much of his attack on Jessica Drake. And there's something else. We fact-checked Jaxton Wheeler's claim that his cyanide tweets were sent after August had died, and it turns out he's right. August could never have seen it.
None of this seems kind of particularly aggressive, or, you know, harsh.
I didn't mean for it to be at all. And I would sit, it would just sit in my house, and I would just read the tweets that I posted that day over and over and over again. I got afraid to leave the house. I would, like, sit on the floor in my house in the dark and just be scared. I'd just be really scared.
Jessica was talking here about the weeks before Kevin released his statement. She'd received her own mini pile-on in the days after August's death from people who felt that she shouldn't have got involved. But then came Kevin's statement.
Her husband or her partner posted that blog and people started retweeting it without even considering if anything in that blog was true. And it was just because the blog was titled The Truth. It was immediately accepted as the truth. And then it got so much worse for me.
Jessica isn't exaggerating about how bad things have got for her. Later, I'll meet the veteran porn performer Mercedes Carrera. And this is what she'll say about Jessica.
So I actually wasn't aware of this blog post until well after it was posted. Because I had posted something on Twitter, of all places, about Jessica. It was some retweet of some helpful information for a suicide hotline. And somebody said, oh, that's the woman that killed August Ames. And it was a fan. And I...
Was that after the state Kevin released the statement?
It was after that. And then this fan posted me this blog post going, well, this is the truth. And Kevin said it. And so I'm sitting here just deduction-wise going, like, look, I don't know Jessica Drake well, but my experience of her is that she's not a malicious human, and I don't think that she would have said anything. It seemed off. And then I see this blog post, and it's pretty much implicating Jessica Drake and August's death, and I'm going, well, maybe this is somebody who's grieving, trying to find some logical conclusion, or maybe it's an obfuscation. I can't tell, but I do know that fans are coming to me going, well, you shouldn't work for Wicked because they're a horrible company and they killed August Ames. And I thought, how did this horrible tragedy turn into a schism or a divide in the industry? It doesn't make any sense. And then I go, well, but gosh, if your wife died, why would you do that? And then I go, well, I don't know because I've never had a spouse that died. So it's kind of like, it seemed a little out of place. The real vitriol was coming from a group of people who felt like they had been violated by way of being excluded. Mm. And that was something that I thought was interesting he didn't address, but he addressed Jessica Drake, who really is, she's just kind of a peripheral proponent of inclusion, kind of like I am.
I met her husband a really long time ago. Really long time ago, and he was so nice. I've only seen him a couple other times over the years. I've always told him, hi, how are you?
It's at this point in the interview that something happens. Jessica starts to say some mysterious, coded things to me.
I've become this really weird container of knowledge. And people are coming to me and they're telling me things about him and her and their relationship and so much stuff. And I'm like, oh, I can't listen. I feel in a way like they're trying to tell it to me to make me feel better. And it's just complicating things. And sometimes it gets to be too much.
That thing you said about you being like a repository of all of this information about, you know, people telling you things about their relationship. Is there anything you can say about that that you feel comfortable with? Okay.
It's so bad. And I feel like somebody needs to say it, but I can't say it because I'm the fucking asshole in this situation. And if I say it, it looks like I say it to take blame off myself. It's so bad. I just want somebody to say it. And so many people have told me, and I just want somebody to say it. It's like somebody has to help me. Somebody has to say it.
And the winner is Greg Lansky.
It's the next night at the awards ceremony downstairs at the Hard Rock Hotel. They've just done the In Memoriam video. Unlike at the Oscars, where most of the people being memorialised died in old age, here, many are young women. In this 2017 video, there's Roxy Nicole and Olivia Lua and Yurizan Beltram, who all died of drug overdoses, and Olivia Nova, who died of sepsis, and Shyla Stiles, who died from unknown causes, and January Seraph, who committed suicide, and August. All of them were between the ages of 20 and 35. Now, the director Greg Lansky has just been named Director of the Year.
What a great honor. Thank you, Evian. Right now, I'd like to bring my friend Kevin Moore on stage.
If you don't know who I am, my name's Kevin, and August Ames is my wife. I'm uncomfortable being up here. I'm uncomfortable with the applause because, quite frankly, I don't deserve them. I failed her, and I gotta live with it. But failure is no longer an option. There can never be another Avian Awards show that has a memorial full of young women. Ever again. That starts with supporting its most valuable asset, which is you, the performers. You deserve to be treated like gold. Because without you, there is no industry. That means respecting your choices. That means who you work with is up to you. It's your body, it's your choice. No agent, no producer, no company, and certainly not social media decides what you do with your body.
All around me, people are giving Kevin a standing ovation. But I'm beginning to wonder, to what extent did the Twitter pile-on really influence August's decision to take her life? A week passes. I'm on my way to meet one of August's closest friends from the industry, the porn performer Ryan McLean. Ryan was texting with August the day she died, and he wants to read me their exchange.
It was on December 4th. I had just texted her in regards to the Twitter, everything was, that was going on Twitter. I just texted her, just FYI, I got your back every single time out here. And then 57 minutes after that, she said, thanks, dude. Smiley face, smiley face, smiley face. She said, I'm not that butthurt about the Twitter drama. I'm more actually just surprised that it offended so many people. LOL. I was reading all the backlash and I was like, ... What the fuck did I say? LOL. And I responded with, people are, how can I politely phrase this, fucking idiots. And she said, thank you, smiley face. But honestly, did I come across as a discriminating cunt with that first tweet? And then I texted her back. I said, okay, I just reread it so that I can give you an honest opinion. LOL. Honestly, no, you weren't a discriminating cunt at all. People are super hypersensitive these days, and they're literally sitting on their phones just waiting to attack anyone and anything that they think even sort of remotely maybe possibly offends them. And she said, okay, thank you, LOL. It's funny because everyone but me is freaking out. Laughy face. That was the last thing I heard from her. So
the story is that she was so upset that that's why she killed herself. So one of two things is happening there in that text exchange.
Right.
Either she was really upset, but she was underplaying it to you.
Right.
Or she wasn't upset, which means that the kind of official story of the reason for her suicide may not be entirely correct.
Yeah. The only thing that I can say about it is I don't think it's this slam dunk for sure. It definitely was the Twitter exchange that sent her over the edge.
Did you ever have any conversations about the ins and outs of her relationship with Kevin?
The only time that I interacted with them was the last time I actually went to the AVN Awards, which was 2016. And I was presenting, and when you're a presenter, you walk like a different carpet. It's all bullshit. But, and I ended up being paired with her and him. So I'm walking this carpet, and literally August and Kevin are the two people directly behind me in line. And she was quiet. You know, she was like, hi, but she wasn't, come here, give me a big hug. And it was weird to me that this is a good friend of mine in line, and we're like not talking.
And the winner is Tommy Pickle!
Something happened at the AVN Awards. It was towards the end of the night. Someone, I won't say who, walked over to me and whispered in my ear, talk to Emma Hicks.
We're a family. We're a fucked up family, but we're a family.
Emma Hicks is a porn performer and August's best friend from the industry. So we contact her. She, in turn, texts Kevin. Kevin texts her back. Yes, you should speak to them. Just focus on what she meant to you and how the bullying and Jessica Drake is why she took her life. A few days after that, my producer Lena gets Emma on the phone.
You're cutting in and out. Sorry, can you hear? Sorry, I'm like in the subway. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Will you tell me what's going on?
Kevin's asked me to hold a lot of things in, and I can't do that anymore. I was actually on the phone with him today, and I was like, people deserve to know, you know, I just asked her best friend and she told me so much stuff. And he goes, well, you can't say her dirty little secrets. People need to remember her as an angel. I was like, she is an angel. She always will be remembered as an angel. But there's things, it wasn't just bullying. And I made that clear. Sorry, I'm really overwhelmed right now. So I'm kind of taking pauses in what I'm saying. He said, no, she killed herself because of the bullying. And he yelled at me over the phone. He was yelling at me. And I said, if this is the way that you talk to August, and I was just bawling out. Like, if this is the way that you talk to August, that just, like, breaks my heart. Because he was yelling at me, and I was just like, I can't do this. So I just hung up on him. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm not saying that at all. But it's like, the truth needs to come out, and I'm ready to tell it.
It's February. 2 months since August died. The porn community has been hearing the same rumours that I have, that Twitter bullying may not have been the reason for her death. And so speculation is running wild. Some porn people are taking matters into their own hands and becoming amateur detectives.
I remember when I heard August Ames died, I text a couple of my friends. I just jokingly say, like, oh, I'm sure he murdered her. And all three of them say, like, yeah, that's what I think too.
That was an old work colleague of Kevin's, Yoshi Obayashi. And here's the porn director, Axel Braun.
I mean, it's not like I'm a conspiracy theorist, you know. She weighed 114 pounds, I think. It's 50 miles an hour wind, and you have to climb up a tree. I don't know that you can climb on that tree with that huge trunk and just go up there and put the finger on your neck and then fall down and calculate how long this thing is going to be so that when you fall down, you're not hitting the floor. I mean, it's not an easy thing.
And here's a makeup artist who worked with August often and didn't want to be identified.
When I first found out, the first thought that came into my mind was she was murdered. She was murdered. Maybe it was her husband, because that's usually the suspect.
It's from this makeup artist I learned that the porn community has become so uneasy these past weeks. One porn star, Mercedes Carrera, has decided to do something about it.
I can reach out to her and get her in contact with you guys.
Before I take you to my interview with Mercedes Carrera, I want to stop for a moment and tell you something. These first interviews were recorded in early 2018, but this is the John of a year later talking, who, with my producer Lena, spent 10 months investigating August's death.
I don't want this to be one of those shows that creates narrative tension by fueling suspicion that a person might be a murderer. So I want to tell you that while we uncover some extraordinary and unexpected things, while devastating mysteries will reveal themselves and be solved, this will not turn out to be a murder mystery. But we don't know that for sure back in February 2018, when we meet Mercedes Carrera.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Yeah, we're in. We're good.
In her car, in a parking lot, somewhere in the valley.
We were all absolutely devastated by August's death, because she was just a gentle little young woman that you... It seemed odd to us. And so I was talking to a friend of mine who's in a big three-letter agency, and I was like, hey, you know, this seems really kind of strange. Will you guys investigate? Unfortunately, it's not in his jurisdiction, so all he could do is pass it along. I've talked to several other friends who are law enforcement, and they all said, you know, it's odd.
Mercedes lists for me the things she's finding odd. There's Kevin's statement, the one that pinned much of the blame onto Jessica Drake.
In looking at kind of how quickly fingers were being pointed, something about it just seemed a little off. There's no animosity, I think, between Jessica and August.
And then, Mercedes says, there's the way that August took her life.
I do a lot of work with the veteran community. I come from a military family. So the veteran community is very adept at self-harm, and it's difficult to tie a slipknot. I've met veterans who've tried to hang themselves and failed it. So these are men who managed to go to war and kill people who couldn't succeed in their own deaths in that way. So somebody with anxiety climbing a tree in the middle of the night. I mean, look, any combination of a psychotropic drugs can potentially... have people do superhuman things. So I'm not saying it's not possible. It just seems it's unusual.
Mercedes says her suspicions are not necessarily about Kevin, who she's always had a good working relationship with.
My experience in working with Kevin is like Kevin's always been very pleasant with me. I never personally experienced any sort of temper or violence from him. So even in my inquiry to my friend who is with law enforcement, it wasn't necessarily immediately coming from a place of, I think Kevin did this, but also I was thinking, well, maybe she was wandering on the street and she was high or something. Some guy killed her. What concerned me was that given her career, it was very easy for everyone to go, oh, look, another porn whore died. Big deal. Write it off and not properly investigate.
Mercedes' suspicions are far from the only ones floating around the porn world. But first, let me tell you something about August's past. She was born Mercedes Grabowski into an army family in Nova Scotia, Canada in 1994. But she always dreamed of moving to California, as she told the podcaster Holly Randall a few months before she died.
I just wasn't happy living in this shitty little town, you know. I've always wanted to move to California, and my mom would always say, you know, think more realistically. And in my head, I was like, that is realistic. I can go to California.
She moved to California in 2013. I met Kevin almost immediately. She was 19. He was 39. They were married in 2014. And by 2017, they'd moved to Camarillo, 40 miles from the valley. Kevin told me he moved them there so that they could have a life together, away from her porn friends who could be toxically gossipy, like being back at high school. As it happens, Mercedes Carrera describes porn people that way to me too.
I tried to befriend August because I met her on set probably about 3 years ago. She was so beautiful and so young, and these girls were being very mean to her on Twitter. Keep in mind, these girls don't go to college. They're straight out of high school into the porn industry. So the things that most people would deal with as co-eds and sororities, they're dealing with on the public stage. I mean, this is their coming of age, and they're doing it in the public arena. So I talked to her about this, and I really wanted to get together with her. Kevin always seemed a little reticent. Now, I don't know if he was just more private and didn't want to get together with people in general. I cannot say, but there were rumors about him being very controlling, about who she associated with. And granted, I'm not her peer, so maybe she didn't want to get together with me. It's possible, you know. But she seemed happy to have someone older who's more neutral to talk to, and I kind of hoped to develop that friendship with her.
In fact, lots of August's friends complained that they barely saw her anymore after she moved to Camarillo. Although she wasn't totally without friends there. There was Emma Hicks.
Sorry, I don't know how to word this. I'm having like a really hard time getting it out.
Who I am now meeting in the makeup room of a porn set in a rented house in the valley. Emma is nervous about talking to me. not least because she asked Kevin whether she should do this interview, and he said yes, but then he gave her instructions.
When he told me to talk to you guys, he said, make sure you focus on the bullying and your fun memories with her. And yeah, everyone knows we had fun memories together. Everyone already knows that. But people need to see the issue, so that's why I'm talking to you about it. There was more to just the bullies. She used to party all the time, but ever since she married Kevin, she stayed at home. And not only I noticed that, but a lot of other people noticed that. You know, it would only be me and her hanging out. It would never be the three of us. But when me and her would leave to go, because we went out to a party in November of 2016, that was a while ago, I know. But when we went out, he like made sure he was like, be back at this time, be back. You know what I mean? To me, it's like she's a grown woman. She should be able to, you know.
What was he worried about might happen if she wasn't back at a certain time?
You could tell he cares about her. And so I didn't know if that was just him being caring or if that was him being controlling. It was really hard to tell. But when she was around him and when I was there, she just seemed like she was very nervous around him. Not nervous, but like she wasn't herself around him as she was with me. He did seem controlling. I remember this one time me and her were hanging out. We were in her room and he came in and we were laughing and talking. And all of a sudden, once he came in the room, it just like we just went silent. And it's like she couldn't talk about what we were talking about in front of him because it would make him mad, you know?
So mad, like he'd lose his temper.
Like, no, I've never, like, not mad, but just like upset. Like, he would just kind of be like, yeah.
Sullen.
And, like, going into, like, the whole anger thing, I've never seen, because I know you're probably going to ask me this, I don't know if you are or not, but I don't know. He didn't seem like the abusive, physical abusive type.
Oh, thank you. Just then, the porn director, Mike Quasar, comes into the room. He's about to shoot a scene on the other side of the door and he needs to change the settings on the air conditioner.
If you could overhear us, this is not the kind of dialogue that should be in a porn film, so...
If they're talking now and then when they're done talking, they'll be moaning and then I don't care what you guys
want.
Okay.
So I called him not too long ago the other day and he was yelling at me on the phone, like yelling at me, and I did nothing wrong. I was just saying, hey, I think I need to speak out about the truth, about saying what I need to say about August. And he was yelling at me. And I said, if this is the way you talk to August, like, you know, she must have really been upset.
What was he yelling?
He said, you can't tell her dirty little secrets. And he kept saying that repeatedly. You can't tell her dirty little secrets. He kept saying, we don't want people to know this. We don't want people to know about her eating disorder and depression, suicidal thoughts. And I said, they aren't her dirty little secrets. They're the problems that and issues that she was struggling with. So that's what we were yelling back and forth about.
And there's another thing that Emma wants to say. Something that, if it's true, does sound startling and extraordinary.
Yeah, I know that Kevin's ex-girlfriend, someone, I don't know, August said that she killed herself. Another person saying that she is in a mental institution, no matter what the thing is. To me and to others, it's a little fishy how, you know, two girls in his life seem to have gone, like, not, I'm not going to say August has gone crazy, but I just mean, like, it just, something clicked in their head where they're just like, I'm so done with this, you know? Does that make sense?
During the days that follow, porn people keep telling us the same thing, that Kevin's ex, or more than one ex, ended up dead or institutionalized, although the details are sketchy and inconsistent, and I wondered if it was just porn set gossip. Here's the porn agent, Derek Hay, on the end of a bad phone line.
Kevin may not thank me for saying this, but Kevin has had another girlfriend, commit suicide prior to August. I mean, I realise August was his wife, but this is the second time that Kevin's partner has done that.
Here's an old work colleague of Kevin's, Yoshi Obayashi.
I can't remember, it wasn't a wife, but he had a one or two girlfriend. I think they killed themselves.
And here's the porn director, Axel Braun.
He had a girlfriend, her name was Hunter Bryce, who died of an overdose a few years ago. He was also married to Shazia Sahari, who's a performer from Pakistan. And from what I understand, she's, you know, because she disappeared all of a sudden from the business and from what I understand, that she's in a mental institution.
For the next couple of months, we distance ourselves from Kevin while we spend some time sifting through these rumours. And this is what we find. In 2009, Kevin was engaged to the porn performer Hunter Bryce. They split up in 2010, and she died in 2011, not of suicide, but of an accidental overdose of methamphetamine and ethanol. That same year, Kevin married the porn performer Shazia Sahari. It proves much harder to work out what happened to Shazia. She's long gone from the industry. Most people don't remember her at all, but we've managed to find some old audio of her from 2012.
What's your name?
My name is Shazia Sahari.
She's being interviewed by the porn director, Pierre Woodman.
So you're already in the porn industry?
Yes, I am. I just joined last October after graduating.
You graduating last year?
Yeah, I completed anthropology and communication studies with the women's studies minor.
Wow.
This is known in porn as a casting couch interview. The director interviews the performer on camera, and then they have sex.
So you're here just for a period, or you want to stay?
I want to stay in the industry. I gave it great thought, and this is what I decided I wanted to do with my life. And as an anthropologist, it's quite fascinating. Not only is the work fun, but it's also intellectually stimulating.
Well, how old are you?
26.
26?
Mm-hmm.
You look much younger, sorry.
Thank you.
You have mixed blood, no?
Yeah, Pakistani and Saudi Arabian.
Pakistani and Arabian?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. And it was quite the controversy when the news broke out to the family. But, you know, I'm an adult, and after they got over the initial shock,
Initial shock, I like that.
They're pretty strict, you know, Muslim family. Ooh,
I can imagine, yeah.
Shazia talks a lot in the interview about her upbringing and Kevin.
You're married?
Yeah, I met my husband my second day in LA. He took pictures of me naked. So we kind of just had this whirlwind romance and eloped. I'm very lucky and blessed.
That's cool.
So, yeah, he's super cool and really sweet about it.
How do you see the future?
That's a good question. My true passion is in ethnographic research and writing. And that's really what I want to do in my 30s with my life. Yeah.
Are you making cook or so?
I can cook.
That's the moment from the interview that stays with me the most. Shazia has just told Pierre that she wants to get into ethnographic research, and he responds by asking her if she can cook. In some ways, the porn world is a good workplace for women. They're paid a lot more than the men. Some women enter the porn world and they have a great time on their own terms, and nothing bad happens. But then you get hints like that the old misogynies are alive and well. Nobody remembers much about Shazia Sahari. That happens in porn. People come and go so fast. When they're gone, they're gone. Even Shazia's old agent, Derek Hay, has trouble picturing her.
I do remember her, but if you ask me specific questions about her, I probably won't be able to answer. Why did you... What do you want to ask me about her anyway? And why is that relevant to this subject here?
Yeah, it's relevant because... She was an early partner, I think wife, of Kevin Moore. She seemed to have left the industry very mysteriously, and we're trying to work out why that is.
Married to Kevin Moore?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a vague recollection of that now.
I become preoccupied with trying to find Shazia Sahari, but it feels impossible. We know her porn name and her ethnicity and the fact that she was institutionalised, but nothing else. We do manage to find one former porn person who remembers Shazia a little. He's Yoshi Obayashi, and he worked with Kevin for years at the production company Evil Angel. Yoshi lives in a bungalow home deep in the valley. He worked at Evil Angel for 9 years. They were good years, he says. He'd do stand-up comedy at night in the LA clubs and work on the production of porn DVDs during the day. But then Evil Angel fired him.
I know I'm a very difficult person, so porn was such a perfect environment because their standard for employees is pretty low. But I did my job.
Yoshi's job had been to put the chapter points on the DVDs.
She took her clothes off. That's one chapter, a blowjob, another chapter. So you know, Hollywood movie, you move to one chapter or another. My job is to put a chapter point where it's easier for the guys to masturbate. And because I did stand-up and I had a free access to porn, I used to deliver porn to Tonight Show. I had a friend that worked for Tonight Show, and they all talked to, like, Seth Rogen. And Seth will mention offhandedly, like, oh, I love porn. Then they contact me and bring a box of porn for them. I went to Tonight Show, like, a couple times a week. After a while, they thought I worked there. So I just walked in because I was giving porn away at the Tonight Show.
Why were you fired?
Okay, so what happened was Kevin Moore, he was one of the directors for Evil Angel. He saw an Instagram picture of me with Asa Akira and a couple other porn stars at Russell Peters' show. So he said, like, wow, why can't you give me a ticket to see Russell? Like, and at the time, I found out his wife, Shazia
Sahari.
That's it. So I texted her and said, hey, you know, Kevin told me that you want to go see Russell Peters. Let me know 2 tickets. And I always get people tickets all the time, you know. So that night, I got a text from Kevin. He was very upset that I contacted his wife. So his assumption was, I'm getting her tickets for her so that Russell Peters could fuck her. That was his assumption from the whole thing, which is laughable because Russell makes $25 million a year. You know, he doesn't need my help to get girls there, you know. So he made a big deal out of it. And I think within a couple of days, I got fired from job.
So all you did was contact her directly about the tickets instead of going through him. That was the situation.
Yeah. They said I was a troublemaker, you know. I always speak my mind. I didn't like that. So they were looking for a reason to fire me.
Do you know what happened to Shazia Sahari?
No. I mean, I heard that she got out of business eventually. I haven't seen her stuff in a long time.
Now that you're out of the industry, how do you make money?
I do stand-up and medical testing stuff.
Could I ask about the medical testing?
Yeah.
What does it entail?
They always look for Japanese people for medical testing. We metabolize medication better than all the other races. You know, we get sometimes locked up all 40 days, between $12,000 to $15,000. And so I've been doing that whenever I run out of money.
Did you ever get any side effects?
I haven't had side effects, except my shit turned to green for like a month. But hardest part is not able to eat food and no coffee and caffeine, and you can't leave.
But the other thing, like if Kevin hadn't got me fired, I wouldn't be sitting here in this locked room with caffeine withdrawal and green shit.
You're absolutely right.
A couple of weeks after I interview Yoshi, he contacts us again. He says he's going to be in New York and he has something that he wants to show us.
So can I open it?
Sure, please.
Okay.
He turns up holding a giant poster board wrapped in brown paper.
This is a very complicated... board full of, like, arrows.
It looks like the kind of chart that you might find in a police incident room. But instead of a crime syndicate, it's all pictures of porn people with Kevin in the middle. Each photograph is connected by a complicated system of arrows and dots.
Yeah.
These are the people, Yoshi says, who have wronged him in porn.
It's kind of like when you're watching, like, shows like Wire. It's hard to keep track of Game of Thrones. Like, which character is that? I just recognize that face. So I put their picture, their name, how they're connected to each other. And if I dislike them, I definitely put their scumbag or whatever and general information.
So it's like a kind of retribution mood board.
Yeah.
Off mic, Yoshi says that he's been waiting years for someone to, quote, take Kevin Moore down. He keeps pointing at different photographs and saying things like, if we're going to get him, we need to talk to this person. He says he made a chart just like this one years ago, right after Kevin got him fired, because he wanted to keep track of the people who had wronged him. But he said that that chart was, quote, too anti-Semitic. And so he made us this new one. During the weeks that follow, as we continue to fact-check everything we can about the events surrounding August's death and the mysteries of Kevin's past, one thing becomes clear. Porn can be a ferocious, rancorous, tribal business. There's Kevin working to bring Jessica Drake down, and there's Yoshi trying to bring Kevin down. And I haven't even told you yet about Axel Braun.
on the night Kevin made his speech at the AVN Awards, an altercation occurred between him and the famous porn director, Axel Braun. Now, Axel wants to meet Lena and me. He's chosen a strange location, the parking lot of a tucked-away hotel, the Sheraton Hotel in Agora Hills, deep in the valley.
Well, I wouldn't call it an altercation. This is what happened. After the awards were over, right in the little corridor, Kevin Moore is standing right there with his arm crossed. And Jessica goes, I think that maybe we should just go out the other way. And I'm like, why? Just walk out. So I know I start walking and I start eyeballing him. And he's pointing at me, like literally, as I turn, he's like making faces, pointing at me. And that, I'm like, do you have something to say to me? Do you want to say something to my face? Are you talking to me, Kevin? You know, because why do I want to let him talk shit about me?
What Axel means is that Kevin had made accusations against him, too, in his statement. A few months before August died, she'd been involved in a labour dispute against Axel. August had walked off one of Axel's sets because it was boiling hot and a grueling schedule. Kevin alleged in his statement that Jessica bullied August as revenge for this because Jessica and Axel both work for Wicked Pictures. The altercation only lasted a moment. It was pretty minor, and I wouldn't have mentioned it, except for what happened next.
So as a result of all of this, yeah, you decided to just start digging around to see, if Kevin's story about August's suicide held up to scrutiny.
Correct. You know, we have a saying in Italy. It's pretty funny. I don't know if it translates well. They said, no matter how hard somebody tries to bury their shit under snow, eventually the sun will come out and the snow will melt. So that's how I feel about this thing. Yeah.
You're not waiting for the snow to melt. You're actually...
I'm just trying to turn up the heat so that the snow melts faster. It's not something I want to be doing. But if you drag me into this story and you try to point your finger at me, I'm going to point the finger right back. Look, there are so many inconsistencies in his story.
As Axel says this, he has a document in his hand. It's the medical examiner's report into August's death. The main inconsistency that he's talking about relates to something that he spotted in this report. It involves the surprising location he wanted to meet us today.
So we're sitting in a car outside the Sheraton Hotel in a part of the valley called, what's it called?
Agora Hills.
Agora Hills. When Kevin told us the story of the night that August went missing, he never mentioned anything about a hotel. But you got hold of the coroner's report. You actually drove to the...
I drove to Ventura and went and requested a full investigation report. In his statement, the one that he called the whole truth, he said that, you know, at 6 o'clock after, I mean, his wife left, and then he couldn't get a hold of her, and then he was roaming the streets looking for her all night.
The actual words Kevin used in his statement were, I spent the night driving around trying to find her and having no idea where she could be. But this is from the coroner's report. Quote, on December the 5th, 2017, at approximately 8 a.m, I spoke to the deceased's husband in his room at the Sheraton Hotel in Agora Hills.
Okay, so your wife is missing and you decide to go and check into the Sheraton.
He said to the coroner that the reason why he checked into the Sheraton was because there'd been a power outage at his home.
I mean, I think that that's what everybody does as soon as the lights go off. I mean, the first thing you do is to go to the Sheraton and get a room, right? Because, I mean, there's no candles or flashlights.
Of course, Kevin omitting the Sheraton might be nothing. He might have just left it out because he didn't think it was important enough to mention. Or maybe the Sheraton isn't nothing. Not least because it's nowhere near Kevin and August's home in Camarillo. It's 18 miles away. And there's another thing. When I interviewed Kevin, he portrayed their relationship as devoted.
We hugged and said I love you to each other, and she walked out that door and disappeared.
But Mercedes Carrera and Emma Hicks have something different to say.
a lot of us had been aware the relationship was very much on the rocks. And there's a great age disparity between Kevin and August. And so I think a lot of us were not surprised by this, because it's not unusual to see beautiful young women.